get me a seat here in case I need to sit down. Oh. I think the heat's sort of getting me a little bit, but oh well, I'm not in Alaska, so I'd be freezing then. Just can't be satisfied, you know, with the heat in the air. No, I'm fine. I appreciate that, though. Oh, let me get my... We're ready whenever you are, Carol. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. We've got a group here this morning, been praying and worshiping, and so we're ready to start. No delays this morning, so welcome. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries here in Bristol, Tennessee, in Virginia. I'm sorry, we're in Bristol, Virginia, just across the state line. And so we're going to, Rabbi and Rebbetz and Don are in the Messiah Conference in Messiah College in Grantham, Pennsylvania. So they'll be there through, I guess, the conference ends today, I believe, and ends this evening, I believe. And so they'll be coming back to Bristol at some point. But we're going to carry on. That's what they've asked us to do. So we're going to have some worship this morning. And I'll be doing the tour. That will be the message. Will be the tour this morning. So it'll be this service today will be a little different. And it won't be as long, maybe, because I won't be able to speak that long because of whatever. But... We're going to persevere and push forward. We're not going to stop. So this morning we're going to get started with our service this morning. So Shabbat Shalom.
He's ready. He gave me the look. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and the beautiful people you sent into your house today. Just lift up this time and we give it to you. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. Are we tuned up right? Hallelujah. Hopefully I did it.
Joy to know. Hallelujah. Give him praise, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. The Bible says, worship the Lord with your body. He says, what's the scripture in, is it Hebrews, Romans 12?
Present your bodies a living sacrifice
unto God.
So it's a sacrifice. We have to
It's a sacrifice of praise.
Yes, we have to put our pride
down. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. And he says, make your body a living sacrifice. That means we're to praise the Lord with our bodies. That means clap, dance, move, worship him. You know, like you're at a football game or something. Amen.
Right.
You know? You get at a football game, you get up and yeah! Touchdown! Woo!
That's right.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's it. Well, that's if we get up and do that at a football game, how much more does God want us to do it for him?
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Right on.
You got to make yourself do it.
That's why we call it a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God.
Are you, O Lord our God.
King of the universe,
who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth
of your salvation.
Amen. Amen. The Vishamru. Somebody's coming in back there. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat lasot et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat lasot et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Yom HaShemini, Shabbat V'Nefash, Shabbat V'Nefash, Shabbat V'Nefash.
V'Shamru V'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat lasot et HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim, asah Adonai, asah Adonai, shemayim ve'aretz, ve'shamru ve'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shabdish, shabbat v'yenafash, Shabbat v'yenafash, Shabbat v'yenafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations.
As an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me,
says the Lord.
Okay, do that one. Hallelujah. Oh, say shalom. Do you have that? It's okay. Just D minor.
All right.
Oh, say shalom b'mromah. Huyah, say shalom aleinu. Say shalom b'mromah, Huyah say shalom aleinu, Ve'yakol kol Yisrael, Ve'imru, imru,
amen.
Yah say shalom,
Shalom aleinu,
Yaakov Yisrael. Yah say shalom, Shalom aleinu, Yaakov Yisrael. Yah say shalom, Yah say shalom, Shalom aleinu, Yaakov Yisrael. Yah say shalom, Yah say shalom, Shalom aleinu.
Shalom, Yah say shalom,
Shalom aleinu, Yaakov Yisrael. Yah say shalom, Yah say shalom,
Shalom aleinu,
Yaakov Yisrael. May he who makes peace in the high places make peace for Israel and all mankind and say, Amen.
Okay, we're going to pray for Israel now. Stephanie, would you light the candle out here? There's some matches there. This is for the return of the hostages that they haven't been forgotten. You know, it's been unfortunately, I'm afraid we're going to approach a year that they have been held hostage in captivity. It's getting there. That went to go out?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to try another one? Yeah, that one may be burnt. I put a next one out there. Just she's got some. I think that one just sort of didn't want to cooperate. That's when I brought an extra one up here. Here we go. All right. So let's. let's turn our voices toward Israel this morning in the holy city of Jerusalem, and we will pray this morning for Israel. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this Shabbat, Lord. We thank you that we are able to get here this morning, Lord, to worship you and to be here on your Shabbat today, Lord. We pray for the hostages, Lord, the people of Israel. They're actually in captivity as the nations are surrounding Israel as we speak, Lord. It's not becoming a pretty picture in the world today as more and more countries are turning their backs to Israel, and they don't want to support the Jewish people, even though they know that Israel has been attacked by Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran, but they seem to forget that, you know, when in a war people get killed, unfortunately. And so they seem to say, well, they want to have a war that no one can die in it. But unfortunately, look how many of the Israelis have died during this conflict. It's actually a war in Israel that they're involved in. It's destroyed their economy. It's destroyed the way they live. It's devastating this morning, Lord. We just pray for relief, Lord. We pray that a peaceful settlement will be observed, Lord. But we pray more that the Shar Shalom would come, Lord, and make perfect peace with the whole world, Lord, as Yeshua comes, that the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, would see that Yeshua is the Messiah that they've been praying about and asking about. It's his second return, but we still pray that he will return. And we just pray today for all the Messianic communities, especially those that are in Grantham, Pennsylvania, at the MJJ conference, the Messiah conference. We ask you to bless those that are there this morning. Bless the other congregations that are having service today. Bless the rabbis, the song leaders, the music, the people that are there assembled today. Lord, we just ask that you'll bless them. But we especially ask that your blessing would fall upon Israel today, Lord, that they will have a day of rest, a day of peace on your Shabbat today, Lord, and to the time that we'll have total peace as you return again. It's in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to do the... Oh, servant of the Lord. Let me find it here. Excuse me. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel unto himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it smooth, too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, now we're going to do the Shema. Give me just a second to get there. I know it, but I don't have it in front of me, too. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Simkevod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. The central prayer in Judaism is the Shema. Okay, we're going to do Minka Mocha. That's not recorded, is it? Oh, say there. And what is the answer to that ancient prayer? En kamok of Elim Adonai, Evim Kamaset Ka, Mamuk Ka, Makuk Ko, Olamin, Umishar Makab, Ador, Dor, Ador. Adonai Melech, Adonai Melech, Adonai Mlot Leoam Vahed, Adonai Hos Leomo, you retain, Avadonarech at the Marshaf, Rashah Salom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's a great thing right there. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, well, I'll do the announcements this morning. And Robinson Dawn is not here. They're... Like I've said, they're in the Messiah Conference in Grantham, Pennsylvania. And I believe that concludes today or tonight. And so we wish them a great service today and a great time. And also safe passages at return. I don't know if they're flying or driving, but either way, however they get back, we pray that they'll be blessed with a safe passage. So we're going to take up our – I don't guess there's any – announcements this morning. We still need a help on the building, getting it finally fixed. I haven't heard if the city's still going to make us put up a retaining wall out there that's going to be quite expensive. I know Rabbi said he has a contact that's similar to the guy here in Bristol that is in Knoxville, and he was going to talk with him and see if they could come up, maybe talk amongst themselves and come up with some way to get around putting up this wall that's going to be quite expensive. And it's just going to be a while. And hopefully it won't, I'm going to say, hope it don't rain ever, that much rain come down that wall again and it will flood the building, because it's been flooded quite a few times and we've had to deal with it. And the flood insurance apparently doesn't cover it. So much for flood insurance. I'm not an insurance agent at all, but I try not to deal with those people. But it's quite expensive to have flood insurance. And then when you have a flood, well, it don't cover that because it's runoff water, whatever the reason was. It wasn't like a, you know, water's water, whether it comes down through a pipe or whatever. But we just need your help on that to try to get it finalized. We've got a contractor working on it. And as far as I know, I haven't had a progress report from Rabbi. Benny's not here today. So let's just keep that in mind and pray that we'll be given a favor when we meet with these city officials, that they can give us a method to get around having to build this wall back here, this retaining wall that's going to block the water. I think they've done a lot of digging back there, so hopefully with the drainage that they built already, that will be sufficient without putting this wall up, because it's going to be quite expensive to do that. And we still got to work on the inside and get that back to where we're hoping we can have it ready by the fall feast, which usually are in September, that we'll be able to observe the feast there and have a meal together. So just continue to pray that until we find out that they're not going to have to do that. But pray that everything goes according to God's plan and we're able to get back in the building. So I'm going to pray for the offering this morning. If you're online, you can, there's a donate button online that you can go in and make a donation to the congregation, and we would appreciate that. So I'm going to pray, and then we will bring our offerings this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat. Once again, Lord, we ask today that you will bless us, that you will bless this offering, Lord, that it would be a good measure, pressed down and shaken together, Lord. And may it truly run over, Lord. May you bless us that we'll be able to finish the project that we have, not only for our fellowship building, but also for this synagogue building, that there's things here that we need to do, Lord, and you're very aware of those. But we pray today that the blessings will come, Lord, and we will stay faithful, that you will bring it to fruition, Lord, that this will be truly a synagogue that will be a very beautiful building for people to come and worship you at various things that we have, Lord. We just ask these in Yeshua's name. Amen.
we get to praise Him. You know, it says is that it says in the Bible, it encourages everyone, come and praise, bring the praises of God with the Jewish people, worship with His people. So this is where we get to do that. We get to sing the songs of Zion, right, Lynn?
That's right.
It's fun because it's different, and you feel the ancientness of it, the roots of it, and then you know that there's something real about it. So it's all right from the Bible. That's the other wonderful thing. All this stuff, you know, you can say, okay, let's sing the first song and then open your Bible to Psalm, you know, 150, and then the next one, Isaiah 12, and the next one. And we're just going through the Bible here and singing it out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So if you want to remember the Bible, just come sing the songs of Zion, and you'll learn a lot of scripture, I'm telling you. Praise Him with the cymbal, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands, praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and flute, praise Him with your heart. Oh, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah. Et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Et Adonai, hallelujah. Et Adonai, hallelujah. Et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Verse 1 again, come on. Oh, praise Him with the cymbal. Praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the shofar. Praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Praise Him in the heavens, praise Him in the moon and stars, praise Him in His glory and power, praise Him with guitars, praise Him in the battle, praise Him in the storm, praise Him for the victories won, praise Him with this song. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. And let everything that has breath come and praise the Lord. Oh. Praise Him with the cymbal, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands, praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah. Et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Again. He, oh God, is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. La 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 la. With joy I drink the living water from the well that never will run dry. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. La 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 la. La 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 la. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Our life is my salvation. Bless his holy name. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Our God himself is our salvation. Bless his holy name. Our God is the God of salvation. So bless his holy name. To God the Lord belongs escape from death. Bless his holy name.
If we bless him and we give him praise, hallelujah, he's going to lift us up out of whatever pit it was that we came in with. Amen. There's a supernatural thing that happens when we enter into his presence and we allow ourselves to be brought into that enlivened position, that position of being in living, livening, being life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At all times,
at all times I will bless him.
Him.
His
His praise shall be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. The humble man will hear of him. The afflicted will be glad and join with me to magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps round those who fear his name, to save them and deliver them from harm. Though lions roar with hunger, we lack for no good thing. No wonder then we praise him with our song. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Come, children, now and hear of me. If you would sing long life, just keep your lips from wickedness and lies. Do good and turn from evil. Seek peace instead of strife. Love righteousness and God will hear your cry. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Let us sing his praises and magnify our Lord. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we make you bigger. We magnify you. We shine a magnifying glass on you and make you bigger so that other people can see you. Because we want to share you with everyone. Because you are a good God. Why would we not want to share about that? God of our Father. God of our fathers, ruler of the heavens, King of all the earth, the Almighty God, power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Can stand against thee, should evil come against us. You are there. in the day of our distress. We will look to thee, for thou art the Almighty God. We put our hope in thee. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you are there. You are there. You are there. Our fathers, ruler of the heavens, King of all the earth, the Almighty God. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you are there. You are there. You are there.
One of the names for God is the God who is there, the one who is there.
The faithful one.
And he is the faithful one.
Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall.
Today, just reach out to him and just sing this from your heart.
Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord. bow to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble.
Carol, it was good worship. I'm glad they had it on film because I'm sorry, I'm not a singer. I wish, you know, I sound awful, be honest. Okay, we're going to do the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask Margaret if she'll help me when we get ready for that. And what I'll do, I'll do the blessing up here, and then I'll come down and help Margaret, and then you all can come and partake of the offering. I mean, I'm sorry, of the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. You know, it's and we're not supposed to partake. You know, if we have anything in our life that we need to confess, and we have some, we'll give you some time to do that. We also want to, if anyone is here that is not a believer, you don't know. You don't know. You haven't accepted Yeshua or Jesus. I'll say that, being a lot of people online probably relate more to the name of Jesus than Yeshua. But hopefully, they'll understand that Jesus is Yeshua. It's just his Hebrew name. It's like my Hebrew name is Asher, so that's it's different. So that's the way it is. But we just asked this morning that if you don't know and you haven't accepted him, that you will take a moment and to consider that, you know, where the question is, where are you going to spend eternity? You're going to spend it somewhere, whether you believe it or not. You're going to either be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And I pray today, and everyone here, I'm sure, I believe we're all, I know we're all believers here today, would say, don't go to hell, but go to heaven. That's the place you want to go. Because hell is it's hard to describe what it's going to be. It's going to be unbelievable what it's going to be like. But a lot of people were not, they don't want the embarrassment, they don't want to it's a stigmatism to say, well, I'm a believer and I've failed. But this morning I just ask that you, if you would say that prayer, just, Lord, forgive me of my sins and forgive me. And I confess that I'm a sinner. I know I haven't done everything correct, but I want to accept you now, that you will wash my sins away and you will put my name in your book of life, and I will be saved, and I want to follow you, and I want to be your servant forever and ever, and I want to go to heaven when the time comes for me to go. And we just pray that prayer, and if you pray that prayer, you can contact us, and I believe Rabbi gives you a Bible or some type of a book that is for you to help you in your struggle and in your guide, because life is a struggle. But it's great when you have God's Son with you, then it makes the days a lot easier to walk through if you know you have a support person. Closer than your shadow is Yeshua. So this morning, he is closer than a shadow. So I'll bless the emblems this morning, and then Margaret will help me. And she does a great job doing that. Hopefully she'll help me do it correctly. So this morning, you know, Yeshua, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you." You know, when he presided over the Passover, it was a different Passover than they had normally been accustomed to, because he was presiding over it, but he changed the Passover. You know, where the the drink, the wine, was his blood. So it was a totally different concept. And the bread was just bread that they consumed. But on this particular day, this night, the bread became hot. It became his body that was broken. So let me pray for the bread this morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua is the bread of life. And then he took the cup that was a little different because he said, this is my blood, which is going to be shed for you for the remission of your sins. They always just drank it as a drink along with the meal, but now it was saying something different that was representing his blood, which was the redemption. So let me bless it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua is the true vine, and we are his branches. So we'll give you a chance to, if you need to pray about something, go ahead and do that, and me and Margaret will get ready over here, and then you and here can, we'll serve you this morning.
Morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Thank you all. Thank you, Margaret, for helping. Okay, today's message is going to be from the Torah. Actually, I did two. I did another one, but I think I'll just stay with this one. If I talk too long, I'll get wobbly. I'm sorry. Okay, today's Torah portion is from, I'm going to sit down just a little bit here, is from Numbers chapter 16, and it goes through chapter 18, verse 32, and the half Torah is Isaiah chapter 11 through 12, in the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Testament, that is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. You know, anytime you look at the Torah and it's broken into 54 parshas or drashas, that's teachings within the Torah itself. And when you see one that's got somebody's name, that usually means it's a little different type of an approach that God is using, because he names it after a particular person. And so today, this Torah portion is named Korach. And how did that name come about? Well, he was a Levite. But if you look at the Torah portion today as a whole, you see that it is it's very vivid, and it's also a very violent Torah portion when you really look at it, because, you know, God has, the Israelites are still moving, they're still in training, and they're still moving to the promised land, to Cana, and that's Gaza. If you're wondering, Cana is Gaza. That's interesting. Like, they just say Gaza, but it's really Cana in the scriptures. And so we see today that, and also with this Torah portion, always with the drash, it gives you the name, but also gives you a little description about the name. But on Korach, it doesn't tell you anything about his name at all, other than that's his name. You know, they always have a little, usually it takes the first couple of chapters, but maybe the first sentence, it gives you about the name. But if you read that today or this week sometime, I would encourage you to read the Torah, but if you read that, you'll see that there was a revolution, so to speak, was going on at this particular time, you know, and God was moving to get the Mishkan set up and to have the priests that would preside over the services and take care of the Mishkan. So that's where this takes place. And we see that earlier, the Torah portion prior, we see that God gave a decree that any generation that was older than 20, and this goes back to where the spies, where they went into the land of Israel to check it out. And a lot of commentaries will say, well, God was with them. But I know God was with them, but God didn't really appreciate the fact that they didn't think that he was able to take the land for them. He already said, it's your land. It's from the covenant I've given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's yours for the asking. It's yours for the having. It's there. That's why I prepared it for you, to go in and possess the land. But they realized when they went in, some things were going to happen. They weren't going to have the manna. They weren't going to have the water. They were going to have to work. And work became a new occupation for them, because they had worked in Egypt with the bricks and all of that. But they were working for Pharaoh. Now they're working for themselves, for their families. And so they had to sustain their families in order to survive. God was, once they crossed the Jordan River, it was, it's your ball game to do what you're going to do. You know, God's still involved in it, but he's not providing the blessings to them like the manna and the water. Because can you imagine all those people that came and that were born in this time period, how many people that was, not to count in the livestock, how much water it would have taken. Probably an ocean of water to feed, to give water for cooking and various things and for the animals. So it was quite an ordeal when you think about the water and the number of people that were involved in crossing. But the Torah portion tells us the end of last week that God gave a decree that anyone in that generation that was older than 20 years old, except Joshua and Caleb, and they were the two that gave the good report. They said, we can occupy it. We can take this land. You've given it to us. Let's go in and take it. But the 10 others, and that's the minion, 12 to have a service. That's a thing in the scriptures, is the 10 that gave the bad report, that they were afraid, because their biggest thing was they said whereas a grasshopper, and these people are like giants, and they were very large people, but they were not bigger than God, and that's where they thought God can't possibly handle these people because they're belligerent, they're warlike. But God said, anybody older than 20, you will perish here in this desert. Your bones will bleach in this hot, arid sun that's here. And so they all, and you know, during this period of time, their shoes never wore out, their clothes never wore out. That was a miracle in itself. They never had to make any new clothes or make any new shoes. The shoes never wore out that they had, but they all died that were 20 years and older. That was quite a few. So you can imagine as they journeyed every day, they had to stop. A lot of times, of course, here where they're at now, they spent almost a year there. So every day it was a funeral. Funerals, as people were dying, that were reaching whatever the age they were at. They were dying. They were not dying from illnesses. They were dying because God gave a decree that they would perish and they would never go into the promised land. And we see also, if you look forward, you'll see that Moses did not get to go into the promised land, and neither did Aaron. And they were God's right and left-hand man, really, if you want to use that phrase. They were right there with God from the get-go, but they didn't get to go. You see, God gave the Torah to make us, to bring peace into this world. That's what it's about. It's about bringing. God's word is a word of peace and restoration and reconciliation. You know, today's parasha with Korach, he was the cousins of Moses and Aaron. They were related. He was a Levite. He was not from a separate tribe. He was from the tribe of Levi. And he was also one that was working within the Torah, the confounds of the Mishkan. He was one of those. He was separate from a lot of the other people because he was part of the people that had different duties to move the Mishkan as they moved it, the tent of the meeting as they moved. But this particular time, they had been there for a year, almost a year, and that's where they had gotten the Torah. And while he was going to get the Ten Commandments and the Torah, of course the golden calf was created, and they had a plague. And they had to drink the gold. As they melted it down, they had to drink it to be saved from the destruction. And so we would say this morning that Korach was a privileged person because he was getting to physically work in the confounds of what God had established for the Israelites. But Korach wanted something different. You know, he wanted an experience for the absolute closeness to be with God. And he wanted to have the opportunity to enter into the Holy of Holies. And you know, that was only once a year that the chief Kohen, which would have been Aaron, as we'll see, that he gets selected. Aaron would have went in to the Holy of Holies. And when they went into the Holy of Holies, I was reading one of the other Jewish books that's available, that that was when the name of God's actual name was invoked by the Kohanim during that service. They would say that they would say the name of God. And of course, over the centuries, over the years, as the tabernacle, as the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., and as you know, at that time when Yeshua was there, a lot of the priests were not Levites. They were people who had money to want to become a priest, and so they would pay to be able to have that honor. And you can see that, you know, as Pilate and all those, as they, you know, they wanted to be in charge of everything. And that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're easy to separate because the Sadducees did not believe in life after death, and that's why they were sad. And the Pharisees were fair because they did believe in a resurrection. So that made them a little different, but they wanted to be, you know, and I'm sure y'all work with people. You always run into people that want to be in charge of everything. They want to be able to tell everybody what to do, which is okay. You know, I understand that. There's just people like that. And so Korach was that way. He was a little jealous. He was a little, he wanted the best things in life, and that's not always so bad. But I think you have to take everything with a grain of salt to not lose your compass of life. What's guiding you? The compass will guide you in the direction. Of course, that's the Torah, and that's Yeshua. So as long as you use that as your guiding light, it's okay. It's okay to be desirous of things, but always within portion that God has given you, because God will only give you what you need. You don't get what you don't need. So that's why some people win the lottery, and some people spend all their money trying to get the lottery and they never win it. And you know, but that's the way God is. He doesn't always give you. He gives you exactly what you need when you need it. Sometimes you labor for a while before you get that. But Korach wanted that close relationship with God. He wanted to be the one that went into the Holy of Holies and saw the presence of God there, because he knew what was happening with Yom Kippur. So he had an understanding that he wanted to be the high priest, not Aaron, because they could tell Aaron was the one that was doing the things, but he hadn't really been said, Aaron is my high priest. And we'll see very shortly how that took place. But Korach wanted to be the high priest. And God had stated the Israelites were a kingdom of priests and king, priests. So that's why he thought, well, I'm a king, I'm a priest, so why can't Moses and Aaron just step to the side and let me be a Kohen? I want to be the Kohen, which is a Kinoha, which is the priesthood of what Yeshua established, is the priesthood. He is the ultimate priest. And Korach, he had other people. You know, like when this was all going on, a lot of people were talking and they were saying things that were not true, and they was sort of exciting the crowd a little bit, so to speak. Like we seen on TV, we saw the demonstrations at these various schools and various functions around where people are protesting about the Jewish people, and they've come under great protest and danger, really, because these people are getting pretty mean. But again, they have been whipped into, like, it's almost like a frenzy when you watch on TV. I haven't seen a lot on TV lately, but it's still out there. I don't think in my generation I've seen a greater display of anti-Semitism than I have in the last month or two. It's just been unbearable that these universities are letting, and they're letting it continue to grow. It's not, they're not trying to suppress it and say, that's not how you treat people, and you treat them with fire and love and respect, but they're not doing that. It's just, it's very terrible. So Korach, he had two people that followed him very closely. That was Dathan and Abiram, and they were from the sons of Reuben and Eli. And so they were involved in it too. They wanted to be a part of this too. So they start a little rebellion, so to speak. And so they get 250 others to come forth. You see, they wanted that experience of being closeness to God. It's like Aaron's two sons on Yom Kippur. They took the offering into the Holy of Holies, and God consumed not their clothing, but he consumed their bodies within their clothing. they had a zeal for God. It was a little different than what Korach, because they were already Aaron's sons. They were already. And so the Kohen, as we read, as we see, falls within Aaron, and his descendants are the Kohen. The Aaron and Moses were both Levites, but Aaron was the Kohen. He was the chief priest that set his family apart within the tribe of Levi. He was a separate, I'm going to say a separate faction within the tribe of Levi, in that he was the Kohen, but he was still from the tribe of Levi. And so these two, they got these people together, and so they decided, well, we're going to take over, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to establish ourselves as the Kohen and not let God pick anybody else. And so they decided they would bring incense and bring the offering to God. And remember, you know, God, all the times that Moses went to God, God always called Moses to come. He never did just come on his own. And see, that's what happened to the two sons of Aaron. They went on their own into the presence of God. They didn't. If God had summoned them, that would have been different. But God gave us the midst for that. You go into the Holy of Holies only once a year, and that's on Yom Kippur. That's what God told Moses. This is what you'll instruct. Only one time a year will the priests, the Kohen, take the blood and the offering and the incense into the Holy of Holies. That's the only time that it occurs. You don't go in on your own, because it's death. You see, Aaron's sons died immediately when the presence of God came. It's a consuming fire, and they died there. And so these guys, these people, they decide they'll bring incense to God as an offering. So they take the fire pots, the incense pots, and they develop the incense, and they're going to go in. There was 250 of them. But God is telling Moses and Aaron, he says, move your people back. Move the tribe, the Levites back. Move them back from Korach. He was a Levite, and so was Dathan and Abiram. They were both Levites. But God says, move your people back from these two here. Because God said in the scripture there, he says, the name of the wicked shall rot. God says in his word, do not name someone, a child, after someone who is wicked. And I'm sure you've seen through history, you know, people have called their kids Adolf Hitler and all kind of names. But God says, do not name a child after someone that is wicked, because the wicked will rot. That's what God is telling us. Don't name your child after someone who is very wicked. That could fall on that child, the name, and people would disrespect that person. But they brought the incense, 250 of them. But what happened? God opened up the earth, and Korach and his family fell into all the way to hell. They fell. The earth opened up, and they fell in. And everything they owned, their family, all their possessions, the tents, homes, whatever you want to call them, they all went into hell. They just opened up, and it swallowed them completely up. And the 250 that were carrying the incense pots, God burnt. They burn up. They were consumed by the fire. I would say by the fire of God, the glory of God. They were consumed. And God says, take the fire pots and make them coverings for the altar. And these people were just consumed in a moment. But what happened? A plague came out because of that. And it was a plague of snakes that began to bite the Israelites. And 114,700 people died from the plague that was evoked when a rebellion, if you want to call it that, came about within the tribes of Israel, because God had brought them so far, and they had turned on God and not wanting to go into the promised land. They wanted to check it out and make sure they was okay with it, and they didn't want to go in. They were afraid to go in. They were not trusting God in what he had said. And so the 250 were consumed by the fire from God. And then the plague came. They put a snake up on a pole. And I believe that snake is the symbol for medicine, or I guess it's medicine. Caduceus, I guess is how you say that. That's the snake, that's the medical, the healing, I guess is what it stands for. With the medical, it's still on a lot of medical buildings and various things that are medical related. But the plague did come and it killed people and they died and the earth opened up and it consumed them completely. But we have to remember one thing. Maybe their intentions were good, but they let it get away. Our good intentions sometimes are not enough or sufficient. God looks at our actions and not our intentions. Because a lot of times I've had over the years I've had a lot of intentions that never came to fruition. And I've found over the years that don't promise God something you're going to do that you may not be able to do it. Not to promise something to God unless you're planning on completing what you promised to God. Because after all, God holds himself to his word and he holds you to your word. So if you're going to promise, so I've seen so many people say, if I can get this, if I can get a new house or a better job, I'm going to start going to church. But unfortunately, that's an intention, a good intention that they're going to attend service. But a lot of times they never follow through with that. So don't promise God something if you know you're not going to be able to do it, then it's best not to say, I'm going to do it. Don't say it until you're able, that you know you're able to do that. That's what God can make things happen. We can't. I can't say, well, you're going to win the lottery next week. I can't tell you that because I don't have that ability to do that. But God has the ability to say what he means and what he can put. He can make things happen because he has the ability to do that, because he's God. We can't make things happen by speaking it. God can. He spoke the world into existence, so he has the ability to do that, to make things happen. But we have to deny the flesh, because flesh coexists with darkness. And the words for flesh and darkness are the same letters in Hebrew, except one letter, and each one is different. That makes them different. It's just like man and male and female, man and woman. There's one letter in their names that makes them different, and that is the name of God that's in there. It's the name of God that's in that. Yah. Yah is in the male and female name. And when you take God out, that's for men of people with the same sexuality marrying. That's not of God, because God's name is not present in the marriage, because God's name is not there. When you take Ra out, then you have the same name, the same letters in both names, and that's the Hebrew letter Ish, which means fire. When you don't have God in your marriage, in your life, in your relationships, then you're going to perish with fire. You're not going to see the things of God. But that's why we have to be. That's why the Hebrew scripture is so important. It gives you the deep down meaning of what God is actually transmitting to us. And that's why the flesh and light, only one letter makes them different. Isn't that amazing? But they're the same. It's almost the same lettering. They coexist. We coexist with darkness and light. And but the silent letter keeps it different. And so they took. We see also in 1 Samuel 15, we see that rebellion, it says this rebellion is witchcraft. And if you can think back before God created the heavens and the earth that we see today on the earth, what was going on in heaven at that time? Lucifer, Satan, was called the most beautiful angel. He was the angel of worship. It's amazing. He was the angel of worship. But he wanted to be God. He wanted to take over. He wanted to take over heaven. And so he got enough of the angels, the holy beings, the angels, to join with him. And he wanted to overthrow God in heaven. And what happened? God cast him and his followers totally out of heaven. And when they left, a third of the stars went out of heaven with them. Can you imagine how many stars a third of the heavens would be? I mean, it's sort of like when Aaron, when you look at all the stars, and I always think of Abraham, God says your descendants will be as the stars of heaven, what that would have looked like. It's almost impossible to envision all the galaxies and the stars. They just keep going and going. Probably trillions. I don't know what the next number is after a trillion, but I'm sure it goes as far as God wants to count it. But they tried to overthrow, just like Korach. He wanted to overthrow Moses and Aaron. He wanted to be the chief person to dictate what was going to happen. It's the same thing with Cain when he slew Abel. You know, both brought an offering to God. Cain brought an offering of the field, and Abel brought an offering from the flock. They both brought an offering. But what happened? That both offerings were for sacrifice. They were bringing an offering for the sacrifice. But what happened? Cain did not bring the best. See, when you bring an offering of sacrifice, God wants your very best. He doesn't want second place. He wants to be first, like in your life. He wants to be first in your life. He doesn't want you to be have something else in your life that falls into idol worship. It shouldn't be anything between you and God. Just God is what you should be driving and striving for and being having in the presence of your life. But see, that's what happened. He didn't bring the best offering that he could bring. He brought the things that was not... God would have taken the offering from Cain and from Abel both if Cain had brought the best of his field. But he didn't do that. He left the best for himself, and he brought something secondary to God. And that's why the scripture says God was not pleased with him, because he says he wants his very best. And he didn't bring it. God wants our best. He didn't bring his best. He wanted it for himself. And so he was cast out away from the rest of from his family. And so it was a rebellion. And that, you know, it's like in the United States, we teeter on a rebellion, you know. The ultimate issue, I think, is going to be, is, you know, we're the ones that are sitting here teetering back and forth. But so much of the world, as you see it, don't really know right from wrong. They really don't want the scriptures. They don't want to hear anything about God. They want everything removed that's religious. And that's where, you know, the government's played a great part of that, getting with the laws that's being enacted to getting the scriptures taken totally away. And fortunately and greatly, some communities in Virginia, Northern Virginia, have put the Ten Commandments back in their schools. Because that's pretty great. Some people have taken the vote that are godly. I'm going to say they're godly because they're wanting the Ten Commandments put back. They're wanting things put back. They're wanting God put back. And when I was in school, we had to go to Bible classes, and you had to go whether you wanted to or not. It was a part of the curriculum. That's where I first heard the name Jesus. I never heard it. And so, but that's interesting, because what was so interesting when they took it Bible out of the schools, the one of the guys that I knew, both of the men that were involved in it, one was a doctor of religion at VI College, it's now gone, and the other gentleman, he had a daughter in school, and he didn't want her to learn the Bible, because he said that was up to the church, and it wasn't for the school system. Separation of church and state was what he was saying. But my dad worked with him, but they got it moved out of the Bristol schools on the Tennessee side and the Virginia side. And look at our school systems today around the world. They're in chaos. They're in total chaos. And I think it all goes back to taking the Bible out of school. That was the only religious thing that a lot of those kids like myself ever got to see. We didn't see it at home. We didn't go to church. And I was in eighth grade. I was getting pretty old. I never heard the name of Jesus before. They came one day, and a lady came and took me to Bible school, and I didn't like it, but I was young, and I never will forget it. Her name was Miss Lanier. I still remember her. But I'd heard God, but his name in a different meaning than what it was. And so, but a lot of kids, that was our only connection to the scriptures, was that Bible class, really. But they got rid of it, and so maybe they'll bring it back. I know a lot of schools are letting them have Bible studies before school. They're letting them pray. So, you know, God's not out of it yet, but that's where our votes are so important, to vote for people that pray the things that we believe in, the things of God. That's how you need to vote, not party line, but vote according to your conviction and vote according to what God's word is telling us to do. That's where change will take place. It's got to take place with us, and then we've got to go and cast a vote for the person that's going to exemplify and push what we believe in. That's my political statement. Vote for God. That's how we should do. But, you know, so, you know, bitterness was a part of that, that Korach was involved, and he was bitter because he wasn't like the one that was going to be over everything he wanted to be. Bitterness can destroy you, bitterness can become very personal to you. I know a lot of people become very bitter when they don't get a promotion at work, or they don't get this award or something like that. And bitterness can really get a hold of you personally. It can affect you personally and make you do things differently than you normally would. But that's where God has to take it. We have to let God take control of ourselves. We have to let Him lead and guide us. And so the rebellion, it occurred, and they were destroyed. It was destroyed. They were all jealous. They used cunning words to try to convince other people to come and join us, and we'll push this over. And that's just like, that's like Satan. You know, when we speak against someone, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He always stands to accuse you in everything that you do. And that's why it's so important. And we've talked about Lashon Hara, having an evil tongue, at speaking against someone. You're committing murder. You're killing the person, yourself, and whoever's standing with you and listening to you. But when you speak against something, heaven says if you have two witnesses, that's like in a court thing. You had to have two people that say you killed somebody. You had to have two witnesses. One witness couldn't convict you to death. You had to be two witnesses. Say, I saw so-and-so commit murder. And so it is with God's rule. It's two. If any two of you will agree, it'll be done here and in heaven. That's what God says. And so when we speak against someone, and we're speaking, Satan is going to be one of the witnesses. He's going to be the one that's one of the accusers. And then when you speak something against someone, then you're the second witness. And God says that's going to be bound because there's two of you. You and Satan make the two. So always be careful about saying anything negative. Build people up. That's the most important thing. Build them up and make them feel good about themselves. That's the best thing. Don't push people down. Because just to close this morning, almost not quite there, but it causes division. And God says a kingdom divided against itself, it's not going to succeed. It's going to perish. That's like the United States. We're so divided right now. We can't decide on what day of the week is. I think there'd be an argument. What the day is. There's so much division amongst people. But Korach is just like the world today. Everybody wants everything. Everybody wants to be in charge. But by making the wrong choices, we should be seeking God in unity rather than division. Seek God and His truth, and don't divide. Don't become a divider of things. Become one that draws people together. And God, you know, God made a division in heaven on the second day. But if you go back and look in Genesis, you'll see on the second day when God split the firmament in the waters, he didn't say it was good because it was a division. And we see in that second millennial year that there was an earth, that's when the flood came and the earth was destroyed except for Noah and his family, the eight. That means resurrection. There was eight of them. That means new beginnings. That's what God did. They started over with Noah and his sons, their wives, and his wife. It's amazing. It started over with the eight people. And so how did God resolve all this? God said, each of the tribe leaders, take your staffs or your rods and put them outside your tent. And in the morning, the rod that has blossomed will be the Kohanim. And so if you read the scriptures, you know not only did Aaron's rod have blossoms, it had buds on it, and it actually had almonds were growing on Aaron's staff. And that's why the almonds are used so much, because that's the first plant or tree that is harvested or that grows in Israel. With the new season starts, it's the almond tree that's the first to blossom or to bloom and blossom and have the buds and the nuts on it. That's the almond tree. And so God ended the rebellion there, and Aaron was chosen as the high priest. I'm sure Moses wanted maybe to be the high priest, but he was not chosen, and he didn't get to go. Of course, Aaron passes away, Moses passes away, but God did let Moses see the promised land before he passed. And so with God, you can't really outgive God. There's no way you can outgive God. But when he did this, in Numbers 18, which is sort of the conclusion of this, God gave Aaron and his descendants, they were given certain things, gifts, if you want to call them, because when the land was divided, the tribe of Levi did not get a land of inheritance because God was their inheritance. And so they didn't get a portion of land. And so what they got different things. And I didn't list them all out, but I wanted to just bring a couple of them. The challah that we see, the braided bread, when they made the bread and they kneaded it, they work it, they would cut a portion off. And that was for the Kohanim. The portion that was given of the dough was given. And the root word of challah, it means to be hollow or to be pierced. And so you can see right there, even with the bread, Yeshua talks a lot about the bread. You can see his presence even in the challah, because it says he was going to be, it was cut off from the main branch like he was. And so Yeshua was the bread of life, like we said this morning. And that's in John chapter 6. He was and he is the bread of life. And in Isaiah 35 verse 5, it says he was pierced for our transgressions. And that's where the bread is. It's pierced. That's part of the bread too. They received the first shearings of the flock because they didn't have jobs. Their job was God. They took care of the things of God. They were guardians of the Mishkan and the temple. They was the gift to God, to Hashem. They were his chosen. They got the best, the first fruits of the oil, the wine, and the grain was given to them as an offering. The korbanot offerings that were given, they were divided with the priests, and they also with the redeeming of the firstborn, that was a portion that was given to the priests. And then the tithes that was given, the maaser, which is the tithe or the tithe, that was a part of that was going to them. And also with the sacrifices of the animals, they received the right thigh and the breast of the animal that was for them to eat. So they were taken care of, but they didn't inherit the land because God is their inheritance. That's the way God worked it out with Aaron. And he's the Kohanim, and he will at some point when Yeshua returns, He'll still be the Kohen here on earth, but Yeshua is the chief. He is the Kohen that is from heaven. That is Yeshua. So that's the Torah portion this morning. And just be sure and come next week, because Rabbi is going to deliver his message that he taught at Grantham at the Messiah Conference. So you want to be sure, if you can't come, to live stream it, to be able to hear that, because he got a lot of great compliments and quite a few people came. And so we'll have the opportunity to hear him preach his teaching that he gave. In, I don't remember the name of it. Carol, you might remember the name of it. I know he said it, but I can't remember. But he's going to tell us what it is next week when he comes. He's going to. So you want to be sure, if you can come and hear what prophetic message that he brought to those people that were up. I don't know how many people came, but I think he had quite a few come to his. They moved his room in the day. He's lucky he made a phone call to find out that he was going to be a day late if he'd have went when they said. So they moved him a whole day, so he was able to, and I think we prayed about that, that he would be able to get everything together and be able to deliver it. So from what Don said, it was a very good... go ahead, Carol. The sign? Okay. So you want to be here next week. If you can't come, you can live stream. But if you can come, that's great. So if you all will... I don't think we have anything else, Carol, today. So I'll do the Aaronic blessing, and then you guys can go home and relax, have the afternoon for yourselves, whatever. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Tell Aaron, this is how you will bless my people when they come before me. Yivakaradonai vayishmareka. Yo Adonai Panavaleka Vikunika Isa Adonai Panavaleka Vayasimlika Shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, we can pray today, Lord. May this blessing fall upon each of us. May the Lord truly bless you, and may you have a great week, and always keep God and Yeshua first in your life. Shabbat shalom. Have a great day.